must unlearn what you have learned.
Hello there. Come here, my little friend. Don't be afraid.
Away with your weapon! I mean you no harm!
Kill him. Kill him now. Do it.
You failed me. I am a Jedi by my father.
And what's going on, everyone? This is Robert Slavinsky from Shootin' a Sith. Just got back from watching the series finale of Star Wars The Clone Wars. If you can tell, I'm not my uppity self that I normally am. It's quite a ride, for sure. With me to talk about not just the finale, but the entire Siege of Mandalore arc is Colton Bird. How's it going?
Oh, I'm here. Oh.
Yeah. that's pretty much my sentiment after that finale for the Clone Wars. If you haven't heard, if anybody who's here listening, if you haven't listened to our last two episodes are out, but a couple episodes back, we discussed our love for the Clone Wars. We got into it a little bit, probably a good 10-15 minutes worth of just discussing the Clone Wars and what it's meant to us and what it's meant to the fandom and just how well they created and built characters. This episode here is kind of a continuation of that to finish off the series, because we wanted to come back and say, okay, so we love this, we've loved the series. Was the series finale just as good, if not better, than what we've enjoyed for the last, 10 years, almost 10 years now, 8 years, yeah, 7 years, something like that?
It's been eight.
So, with all of that, Colton, I know we want to jump into the finale, but let's start from the beginning of this final arc, the Siege of Mandalore. It started with episode 9 of season 7 called Old Friends Not Forgotten. That was where Ahsoka and Anakin reunite. What were your feelings on that episode? Like, that was such a good episode, but what were your feelings on it?
Why did I waste my time watching the previous four episodes was the first thing, because that scene right there was enough to blow Ahsoka's whole arc prior to this out of the water.
Yeah.
It was a lot, because it was, I mean, obviously spoilers, it was the last time they were going to see each other.
Yeah. Well,
Anakin sees Ahsoka.
Last time that Anakin and Ahsoka see each other, until that fateful moment in Rebels when they come face to face as Vader and Ahsoka. But, you know, I sit here and think about it, and this arc just built every single episode. Like, each episode just got better and better and better. And when you watch that episode, when you watch Old Friends Not Forgotten, you sit back and you're like, holy crap, that's the last time they're going to see each other. And they do everything so well, because that moment at the end of the episode, because, you know, she comes back, she refuses, Ahsoka refuses to say, look, I'm a Jedi. I'm not a Jedi. Like, you know, I walked away for a reason. I'm not ready to come back. And Obi-Wan and Anakin are kind of discussing, like, the possibility of going with her to Mandalore to capture Maul. But the events of Revenge of the Sith start at that moment. Boom. Like, right at that moment is when Grievous kidnaps Palpatine, and Obi-Wan and Anakin are called back to Coruscant to go rescue Palpatine. You then have Ahsoka, who is sent off with the 501st to go and to Mandalore capture Maul.
I don't think they're the 501st anymore.
Are they not?
No, I think they're the 332nd.
Oh, is that what they were? Maybe it wasn't the 501st. Maybe I misread. But
No. When they split them up and Rex takes over to 332nd.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And then the 501st stays with Anakin.
So Ahsoka goes to Mandalore, and the invasion, I guess you can call it invasion, but the attack on Mandalore is coinciding with the attack above Coruscant that Obi-Wan and Anakin are in, which is fantastic. It's just amazing.
The parallels.
Yes.
Like this whole last four episodes has so many parallels to whether it be episode 3 or Rogue One, which we'll get into later, or they even have, which again, later on, we're going to talk about later, Force Unleashed. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yes. Yes. So.
And before we get on to the next episode, I don't know if we're going there.
Yeah.
Ahsoka was a little bit of a dick to Anakin in this episode.
A little bit. I think
she's justified, but.
Well, I mean, you got to kind of look at it and think of it this way. You know, Anakin, for everything that's going on in his life currently at that time, all right, everything that's going on at that time, you have to realize that he still doesn't quite understand how Ahsoka could walk away. You know, after everything that he's been through with her and everything that they've been through together, he's like, look, yeah, the Jedi screwed up, but, you know, why? Like, he can't quite grasp the understanding of that. And he's also toying with the idea himself, and I think that's kind of why it's like, look, I have my issues with the Jedi Order. There's things I don't agree with, but I'm sticking with it, as you should. And I think that's kind of why Ahsoka is a dick to him, because it's kind of like, look, you know, you want me to come back so bad. You want me to be part of your team again, but do you not realize what they did to me? Do you not realize how corrupt and everything is within the Jedi Order? And I think that is, again, like you said, she's justified for that, but it's absolutely heartbreaking because their friendship that was there, you know, Snips and Sky Guy, you know, that's what they were to each other. And it got to a point where it was like, look, they have their friends, they have admiration for each other. She cares about him, he cares about her, but their paths went in two different directions. And it's heartbreaking because that moment when they say goodbye in the hangar, that is where the split is it. That's it. That's them going in their separate directions for the rest of their lives. You know, there's no, in the grand scheme of things for the two of them, there's no coming back from where they're going at that moment.
Yeah. And, you know, Anakin does give her lightsabers back, or makes her new lightsabers. I can't remember.
Yeah, he upgrades her lightsabers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which... okay. So we move on to the next episode, where it is all taking place on Mandalore. You have Ahsoka chasing down Maul, essentially, trying to capture him, you know, and that's pretty much what that entire episode is, because let's see, the Phantom Apprentice is that episode. Let me make sure I don't get my bearings wrong here, because when you talk about multiple episodes at one time, it kind of,
this is the one where everybody, well, this is right before Obi-Wan goes to Utapau. And this is where it's right after they ask Anakin to spy on the Chancellor.
Yes, there we go. So keeping in line with what's going on in Revenge of the Sith, you just helped out there. You know, that's what's going on the backside. That's what's going on in not at the backside, but the forefront in the saga. This is the backside, Clone Wars, where we're watching what's going on here.
And this is the first episode where we see one Obi-Wan reach out to Ahsoka for a message to Anakin, because they sense something's wrong with Anakin. They think Ahsoka is the only one that can break through to him.
And she refuses. Refuses to talk to him. She refuses to see him. And that is just, again, heartbreaking, you know, because like I said, they're friends. They have this admiration for each other. She grew up with him as her mentor. And because she sees him as being such a, she doesn't realize that he's not as into the Jedi as she thinks, but because she believes, like, oh, all he's going to try and do is pull me back into the Jedi, and I don't want that. And that's kind of what the whole thing is with her, is she's like, I should talk to him, but always gonna, like, that's her mindset. All he's going to do is try and pull me back into everything. And that's just, it's so upsetting, because could she, if she talked to him at that moment, have put some clarity into his mind to pull him out and pull him back from,
you know, from the dark.
From the dark.
This is also the same episode that we see Elia Sakaria and Plo Koon alive for the last time as well.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
In the beginning of the episode.
I mean, that's...
That's that, when you show that as the first, like, first two clips, you're like, oh god, no. Mm-hmm. It's happening soon.
Yeah. very, very soon. And
also, I'll commend Ray Park for doing Maul's movements in this entire thing. His motion capture was amazing.
Yes. I mean, now that we're getting to the big moment between Ahsoka and Maul. That's the next episode, though, isn't it? Isn't it the next episode?
They have a little bit of a duel in this one.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah. Next one is...
Yeah. And that's kind of what we'll just get to then, because this whole episode, Shattered, is all about, you know, just trying to find Maul, to capture Maul. And there, it's just kind of what's going on Mandalore. You see him and his Mandalorian troops are kind of like, okay, you know, we're taking over Mandalore, but you can tell Maul has an ulterior motive, because he's not wanting, he doesn't care about Mandalore. He doesn't care about the Mandalorian people. All he cares about, and he truly believes that pulling Anakin to his side is the one that's going to help defeat Sidious, because he had a vision and he sees what is going to occur. And all he wants to do, because Sidious ruined his life, he wants to ruin Sidious's plan, and he believes Anakin is the key to that, because he sees Anakin as being the key for Sidious to win. So he's trying to find a way to get Anakin to him prior to that. But when Ahsoka shows up, he's like, wait a minute,
you're not the one I want.
Yeah, like, where's Obi-Wan? Where's Anakin? Like, yo, what's going on here? That's kind of where we jump into the next episode, and Ahsoka, I mean, we're just going to jump to it here in Shattered. Is it Shattered? Is that the one that, oh man. Yeah. No. It was Phantom Apprentice. Phantom Apprentice is the one. Yeah. So Phantom Apprentice is where Ahsoka and Maul fight. You know, they have their epic lightsaber battle, which was amazing. But what is even crazier is the moments there, the way that they parallel kind of what happens in Revenge of the Sith again, you know, with the glass shattering and the lightsaber battle just, you know, almost going on. Some people say it's going on simultaneously. It's just insane. It's absolutely insane.
Dave Filoni just, I'm sure you can't hear my clapping, but oh my God. He outdid himself.
He did. Absolutely, 100% outdid himself. Absolutely. So we get to that lightsaber battle. I mean, how amazing was that battle? It was the best in the Clone Wars series, hands down. Might be one of the best lightsaber battles in all of Star Wars, if you really think about it and step back and look at it. Because while there isn't the emotion that you have in Revenge of the Sith with Battle of Heroes, and there isn't the holy crap, that's amazing, it's one, you know, two Jedis against one Sith and the Phantom Menace, this lightsaber battle was just, there was emotion, but it was raw power between the two of them. You know, you had Maul, who, while he's a coward, he will do anything to stay alive for the most part and to move on to his next plan, because revenge just pushes him forward. That's his driving force. You have Ahsoka, who's like, I have a duty. I'm going to bring you in. I said I would do this, and I'm going to, you know, and she's utilizing her abilities. Now, somebody said something really interesting on Twitter the other day, you know, not this episode exactly, but you see the power and the strength that the two of them have. Have you noticed that? Like their power grew exponentially from the last time we saw them use their force abilities. It's insane. And this episode kind of is a stepping stone to that because it's just so good. Like, I don't even know what else to say. It was jaw dropping. It was intense. It was exciting. You know, people freak out because Maul had an opportunity to kill Ahsoka at one point, but what they don't understand is he wasn't trying to kill her. The whole purpose was for him to pull her to his side. He needs help. He realizes he can't defeat Sidious alone, so he's trying to find somebody who can help him in defeating Sidious, and that was his whole reason for that. We also can't forget to see that he had a little conference call with some of the gangsters around the galaxy prior to the fight as well.
We told them to go into hiding,
which is a nice little connection to Solo, which I thought was a really cool thing that they did.
Which is so sad. Hopefully that means we're getting a Solo too.
We're going to get to that here in a moment. So we're going to actually, you know what? We could talk about Shattered. We could talk about that episode. It was a good episode. It was a strong episode. I watched it again last night before I watched Victory and Death. I mean, Shattered is the episode. That's where it happens. Order 66, you know, it happens.
Before that, you know, there's the conference call that Ahsoka has with Mace Windu and Yoda.
Which is amazing because that is literally a scene from Revenge of the Sith. We're just seeing it from Ahsoka's perspective, you know, which is...
And Mace Windu's such a dick. Oh, my God. Why are you that much of an asshole?
But it makes sense. And then you take a look at Yoda, who sticks around at the end. He's like, is there a message you want me to send to Anakin? Like, what's up? Yeah. You okay?
There's attempt number two to try to break through to Anakin.
Yeah, exactly. But at that point in time, it was already too late because Anakin was on his way to Palpatine to be like, hey, Palps, hey, this is what's going on. And I guess it wasn't too late at that time because, you know, he tells, you know, Palps is like, hey, I'm the Sith Lord you're looking for. He then goes and tells Mace Windu, and it isn't until after that that everything else happens. Now, Yoda, which, you know, is an excellent moment, he calls Ahsoka Padawan again, you know, despite Mace Windu's calling her a citizen. You know, this is for the Jedi Council. You know, thank you very much, citizen, or whatever he says. You know, just being a dick. But that moment, you know, they take Maul, they get him on this ship, which they use this really cool containment unit from Mandalore, which I want to hear more about. I want to see a story on what is that containment unit? Why did they, what's so bad about it? Why did they do away with it? Which is real interesting. But they get Maul on the ship, and you can tell in his eyes that he realizes it's coming.
He's like 10 minutes out. It's over.
Yeah. He's realizing it's about to happen. He doesn't know how. And that's kind of what he keeps saying. He's like, I've had these visions. I know that Sidious is planning something, but I don't know what his plan is. I know there is a plan. I know something's happening, but I don't know what it is. All he really knew was that Anakin was the key. Anakin was the key in Sidious completing his plan. We get on the ship. They go into hyperspace and are going to Coruscant to take Maul back. Rex gets called like, hey, you know, you have a report, you know, that you have to be in on. Rex looks at Ahsoka like, hey, do you want to join? You know, and maybe you can find out some more information on Anakin or, you know, Grievous. No, on Grievous. And she's like, no, I'm sure it's just more good news. Go ahead. And she stands there just looking out the window. And that's the moment. That is the freaking moment. All of a sudden, Maul and Ahsoka, they start hearing, you know, echoes of the moment that Mace Windu confronts Palpatine and Anakin is there. You know, it's not the Jedi way, you know. He's too dangerous to be left alive. You know, like, you hear all of that, and it was just, it sent chills, absolute chills, because I knew they were going to do something cool. I didn't think it was going to be this cool. It was just fantastic. I don't know what else to say, you know, and Ahsoka, who is just distraught because she feels something happened with Anakin. She knows something happened with Anakin. Maul knows something happened. But Ahsoka runs out to go, hey, Rex. But moments before, Sidious tells Rex, execute Order 66. He goes, as you wish. She runs into the room like, Rex, there's something wrong with Anakin. And he drops his helmet. He's shaking. Because Rex knows, and that's the beauty of what they've done with Clone Wars is, you know, Rex has become this character that has grown and you've learned to appreciate. He has had true development. He knew that there was something wrong with the inhibitor chip. And it was at this moment that I think he finally realized what it was. But he couldn't control himself. And he turns and he puts his guns on his friend. You know, somebody who he's admired, who he's fought side by side with for so many years. And he's lost it. Like he can't control it. And he's like, you know, find Fives, which is the clone who had the issue, who the inhibitor chip went malfunctioned and he went crazy and killed Jedi earlier in an earlier season of the Clone Wars. Ahsoka, being a badass, somehow escapes a number of clones shooting at her. But not only does she escape, but she doesn't kill a single one in that moment, which I thought was another fantastic thing.
Yeah, Clone Wars did an amazing job of humanizing the clones.
Yes.
Because we go from seeing them as just soldiers, mindless soldiers, to, oh my God, they have personality. Which is even played more upon in Victory and Death, but we'll get to that when we talk about it. Because that and Victory and Death is probably one of the main reasons why anybody would tear up watching that episode.
It was rough. It was because I didn't tear up, but I felt it. You know, in my gut, like it was like a gut punch. You're just like hit with it. And you're like, oh man, it's happening. And the music, Kevin Kiner, the music was fantastic. And this is going to kind of be a little plug for an episode of Spoiler Country and a little bit of our last episode of Shooting a Sith. But I had a chance to sit down and interview Kevin Kiner. And he talks about the music in Star Wars and his love for Star Wars. So please, make sure you subscribe to Spoiler Country because that whole episode will be up this week. I actually just finished editing it completely. So once the boys over at Spoiler Country finish putting it together, they will have it posted up this week. But it was an excellent episode. And Kevin Kiner, his love for Star Wars can be heard and felt through the music that he puts in this film or this show. It was fantastic. Absolutely amazing because he interweaves the music of John Williams and his own music, but he uses the right cues at the right times. The music that he plays during Order 66 is the same music that plays in Revenge of the Sith, which I think makes it even more impactful at that moment.
Completely agree. Completely.
Now, she runs and Ahsoka escapes and her whole thing in this episode is to get Rex back to normal. She's trying to figure that out. Rex said, find Fives. She goes, does some investigation with some droids, finds out that there was something with the inhibitor chip of Fives. So she finds a way to capture Rex, take him to the medical bay, search for his inhibitor chip, and then has it removed. It is a very intense scene because while she's doing this, you have to remember the entire ship, with the exception of her and the droids, are clones. There isn't another.
She releases Maul in this episode as well.
Yeah. And prior to going to that medical bay and rescuing Rex, she releases Maul, but it's all for a distraction. You know, he's like, oh, good, you're going to work together with me. And she's like, no, Like, you're just a distraction. I'm not rooting for you. Yeah, you're just a distraction. Go cause a distraction. I need to go do my own thing. And he's like, well, I would like a fighting chance, hinting that he wants his lightsaber, or, you know, a lightsaber. And she goes, I'm not rooting for you. You just go. So he goes off and starts causing a ruckus on the ship, who then has maybe the second best hallway scene in all of cinema history.
Which, again, mirrors Rogue One. Certain scenes in that scene match up with Rogue One.
100%. 100%. You know, and he's using the Force, walking down the hallway, throwing clone troopers against the ceiling, smashing them with parts of the ship. He cuts off. He decapitates two of them, and causes one of them to lose an arm and a door. It's insane. Like, he is absolutely unhinged in that scene. And you, like, there was a moment I sat there. I was like, this is the Clone Wars? holy
crap. That's when it transcended from a kid's show.
Well, but it's Order 66. Like, you have to understand that. Like, this is the most terrifying and horrific event in Star Wars lore to this point. Why would you treat it any differently in this show? Like, it just wouldn't work then. But,
and I will say, they did a great job making the clones just seem absolutely ruthless.
Yeah.
Between this episode and the next one, like, absolutely just destroy anything at all costs. I don't care how many bodies go.
Yeah. Pretty much. So the end of the episode is she's getting Rex's inhibitor chip removed. They're in this small room. There's a handful of clones outside the door trying to break through to kill Ahsoka. And at the last possible moment, the door opens and Rex actually saves her. You know, he comes back and he pulls out his guns and he shoots the clones. The door closes, they secure it. And that's pretty much how the episode ends. You know, with those two there, Ahsoka, the thing she asks is, she's like, you know, how did this happen? How many are affected? And Rex goes, it's the entire clone army of the Republic. They're all like this. And it's just that devastating moment for her where she realizes they've all been played. You know, at that moment, she realizes Darth Sidious, you know, is Palpatine essentially, and they've all been played. And it was just, you know, it's devastating. But at the end of the episode right there, you're like, I need more.
Yeah. More. They're like, don't worry, you can wait 2 days.
Yeah. I think it was 3 days, but yeah. So
what's crazy is the whole Ahsoka freeing Rex from the inhibitor chip, and the whole episode called Shattered could possibly be a reference to, like, Mace Windu's Shatterpoint ability.
Interesting.
And the Shatterpoint novel as well. Because when Mace Windu, like, he shows it in Clone Wars how he kind of, like, breaks one's psyche or taps into their brain, you know?
Yeah.
So Ahsoka essentially does that with Rex to break the inhibitor chip.
Yeah, that's right. Because she puts her hands on his head and she actually says, I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me, which is a callback to Rogue One, a second callback in this episode to Rogue One, because, you know, you have the Darth Vader hallway scene to Maul's hallway scene, and then you have what Ahsoka is saying compared to what Chirrut says. Is it Chirrut? And that says it in Rogue One.
And then, you know, Dave Filoni's throwing legends at us again.
Yeah, Dave Filoni's great at that. he's great at doing that. So we get to the finale, which just premiered today of us recording, and it's called Victory and Death. And it starts off, Ahsoka and Rex are like, okay, what do we do? We got to get out of here.
There was no victory in this at all.
I mean, there wasn't. There was a lot that happened in this episode. A lot. And it's insane because Maul goes and he's trying to escape the ship. So he thinks the easiest way to do that is, well, they're in hyperspace, so we got to get out of hyperspace for me to escape the ship. So he goes into the hyperspace and drive, and he destroys it, causing them to have to come out of hyperspace, which was a badass scene.
Yeah.
Like,
that scene mirrors when Galen Merrick and Force Unleashed takes down the Star Destroyer.
Yeah. Yeah, which is awesome because there's a connection there for Sam Witwer, the voice of Maul, who played Starkiller in The Force Unleashed. But that's besides the point. So we get to, you know, the ship comes out of hyperspace. Ahsoka and Rex are trying to find a way to escape. They don't know how to escape. And when they discover that the hyperdrive has been destroyed and that they've been pulled out and all of the escape pods have been destroyed per Rex's orders prior to the inhibitor chip being removed, they run to the hangar to try and find a ship there. And there is one ship left in the hangar that they could possibly use to escape. And they see it there. However, an army of the clone troopers are all waiting there for them. So they come up with this plan for Rex to capture, quote unquote, capture Ahsoka and walk out there. And the clones there, and which one was it? I can't remember which one it was.
Jesse.
Jesse, thank you. Jesse is like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You gotta kill her. Like, that is our order. You have to kill her. And Rex is like, you do realize it says to kill Jedi. Ahsoka has not been a Jedi for a long time. We have to get this right, or, you know, we'll be just as bad and we'll be punished. And Jesse's like, yeah, no, that's not going to fly. That you're just kind of making shit up now. So he orders all the troopers behind him to shoot them. But at that moment, the droids drop the floors and more than half of the troopers fall to the level below. So they have now a fighting chance, Rex and Ahsoka do, to run and get to the ship. But you have to remember, Ahsoka does not want to kill any clones. And that's kind of her big thing is she doesn't want to kill anybody. She realizes that they've all been strong soldiers who didn't ask for this. This is not what they were asked to do. And she respects them and realizes that they are human beings, that they're not just dispensable. And her rule is, we're not killing them. So Rex is shooting,
he set his blaster to stun.
Yeah, he's shooting stun blasts. She is ricocheting any shots at her away from everybody. You know, she's using the force to push everybody away or to knock them unconscious or anything. At that time, Maul then comes to the hangar and sees the fight going on, and he sees it's his perfect opportunity to escape. He sees the ship and runs to the ship. Ahsoka tries to go and stop him. It's a really cool scene where he does get onto the ship, and she's starting to hold on to the ship, using the force to pull it back down, kind of reminiscent of The Rise of Skywalker, how Rey was pulling the ship that was carrying the troop carrier and who we thought was Chewie, you know, into the star, to the First Order ship. So it's very reminiscent of that. However, Rex is getting overrun, and she has a choice to make. Does she stop pulling Maul back and hopefully pull the ship back and be able to escape and allow Rex to die? Or does she let Maul escape and she go and rescue Rex? And Ahsoka being Ahsoka realizes it's really no choice for her. She lets go of Maul. Maul escapes and she goes and helps Rex. So now they have to find another way to escape. But you have to realize this entire scene that's going on, I'm not doing it justice talking about it. You have to watch it. The force abilities that they are showing in this scene, it's insane. And this gets to where somebody said something on Twitter last night, because we watched it, or they watched it late at night last night. They go, when you look at the abilities that they were showing, that Maul and Ahsoka were showing, do you think it could be because there's now more force for them to utilize in the galaxy? Order 66 has happened. So all those Jedi that were around have died. They're no longer tapping into the force. So the force, if you kind of look at it as kind of like a gas tank, you know, and you have 100 people pulling from that gas tank, but now all of a sudden it's just a handful. Could they be getting more force, and that is why they are so much more powerful? And I thought it was an interesting concept and idea. I don't believe the force works that way, but maybe they're alluding to it does. Who knows? Because they do kind of, over the course of the last 40-some years, the force has changed quite a bit, you know, in the way that it works. So who knows? I just think it's an interesting concept and idea.
Yeah. man. This episode just, it hits hard. So, I can't say anything else.
The one thing that I forgot to say is the reason why they're trying to escape so quickly is because when they came out of hyperspace, they came out right next to a planet or a moon, and they were being pulled in by the gravitational pull. They were essentially crashing into a planet. So they had to escape the quicker, and they had to get out fast, because if they didn't, they were probably going to die crashing into that planet. So that as time is coming, you know, they're like, okay, that ship's gone. So we now have to go down to another hangar bay and try and find another ship, where they do go and they find one. Again, the abilities that Ahsoka puts on and shows is fantastic. And the ship starts breaking up because it's entering atmosphere of this planet. And Rex finds a ship. He gets on this ship. It has a passenger spot, but Ahsoka can't get to him. So now the ship's breaking apart. She falls out of the ship because they're in atmosphere now. He's trying to find her. She's falling through atmosphere. Kind of think of what happened in the first episode in this arc, where she's running on ships flying through the air and Old Friends Not Forgotten going towards Mandalore. She kind of does that here again, which is a nice little callback. And she's running down the ship, jumping, you know, trying to find a way to survive. She sees Rex flying. She jumps. She tries, and she catches onto it, pulls herself into the ship, and the clone ship, transport ship, is destroyed, crashes, and is destroyed. It kind of jumps up a little bit, you know. I would say probably a couple days after everything, you see Rex kind of packing up the ship and all that. You see Ahsoka looking very reminiscent of what she looked like in Rebels with a cloak. You know, she's wearing a cloak and everything like that, which is a vision that, or not a vision, but a look that we've gotten very familiar with since Rebels came out. And she's standing there, and Rex kind of looks at her. And you don't see it at first, but as the camera and the angles and the scene kind of changes, you see that she has created a cemetery of sorts for all of the clones that had died that day. She put stakes with their helmets on it. But what is even more heartbreaking is these were all the troopers that painted their masks in honor of Ahsoka. They're all these troopers who respected her prior to Order 66 and missed her when she left the Jedi Order. And she's standing there, and you can tell that it's affecting her so much. And then she pulls out her lightsaber that she has, because she lost her other one in her fight. She pulls out her lightsaber and she looks at it. What do you think was going on through her head there?
I mean, pretty much her whole world just collapsed. She's probably like, I'm done with everything. I'm just walking away. I'm becoming a nobody. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, does she blame the Jedi? You know, is that why she's walking away? Is it because she blames the Jedi? Like, that was the final straw? My friends are dead because of this war. This war that, you know, the Jedi could have prevented had they not been so blinded by the dark, by their politics and everything. That's kind of what I was thinking about, you know? And she looks at the lightsaber and she sees it, or, you know, she's contemplating something. And again, that's kind of what I think. It could be what you were saying. I'm not 100% sure, but she then drops the lightsaber on the ground. And that's it. Her story in Clone Wars is done. We cut to the future. I couldn't tell you how long, but it's stormtroopers. They show stormtroopers, not clone troopers.
Which is sad, because they're probably clone troopers.
Yeah. And they're on that planet, and it looks like they're looking through the wreckage of the ship. My guess is this is Vader on his quest to verify and or kill the Jedi in the galaxy, the remaining Jedi in the galaxy. But, like, at first you just see the stormtroopers, and at that, it was that moment. Like, I knew what was happening. Like, I started to, like, no, like, chills. I knew what was coming. And you hear Vader's breath. And he's walking towards the ship. And it's a similar angle to where we saw Ahsoka for the final time. And he stands there. And he looks down. And he sees the lightsaber. He picks it up. And it's all covered in snow. There's snow there now. What do you think goes on in Anakin or Vader's head at that moment? Because he knows who saved. He gave that lightsaber to her. Like, what is going through his head?
I think this is the final point where we don't see Anakin again until episode 6. I think that's the last time we see any shred of Anakin until episode 6.
It hits you. I mean, it hits you because he sees that lightsaber. Does he believe that she's alive? Does he believe that she's dead? What is it? Because Anakin and Vader are one and the same. And you have to believe that if Anakin believed for even a moment that Ahsoka was still alive, you'd have to think that he would go and find her unless he is like, no, she's going to pull me back to where I don't want to be anymore. Because at that moment, he truly believed that he had to be Darth Vader and, you know, on the dark side. So it's really curious to what his thoughts were there. But the imagery...
I think that depends on if Ahsoka cut herself off from the Force.
Yeah, I mean, we're not 100% sure on that.
Because if she cut herself off from the Force, there's no way he would feel hurt anywhere and he would assume she died.
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't cut herself off from the Force, you know, the Force is constantly evolving. Maybe Vader develops something that we see in, like, Fallen Jedi Order, where Cal can hold something and see the memory, or, you know, whatever. Maybe picks up her lightsaber, and that's why he looks up. He's like, I know she's out there.
Yeah.
So it's one of the two.
Yeah, this is I'm kind of rewatching it right now on my phone.
It's truly sad, the life, the story of the clones.
The animation is amazing here. And, you know, if you really think about it, this is the first time we see Vader. Like, this could be the first time you ever see Vader. If you watched, well, no, this would be the second time because you see him in Revenge of the Sith. But let's say you don't watch Revenge of the Sith. This is the first time you're seeing Vader, you know?
Yeah.
But he doesn't, he ignites that lightsaber. He ignites it. And that's how he knows. And he looks up to the sky, which is an amazing shot because you see through his visor, you see his eye. You see his eye in his mask. It's amazing. And there is one mask that's sitting there that had the paint for Ahsoka on it, or one clone helmet sitting there. And as he walks away, you see him walking away in the visor of the mask, and that's it. It's done. It's just
Darth Vader walking away from Anakin and his past.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
If you have a couple days, prepare yourself to watch this episode. Full heads up.
Yes. Yeah. I can tell you, you're not ready. I mean, if you've listened to this and not watched it, I'm sorry for spoiling everything, but you're not ready for it. I was not ready for that final episode. This episode,
I would also recommend watching from Old Friends Not Forgotten the whole way through.
Yes. Yeah. This arc here, and especially this episode, really kind of made me want two things badly. Very, very, very badly. I want to know what happens to Maul between this episode and when we see him in Rebels. We get a little snippet in Solo of him. So we know that he's kind of heading a gangster, you know, the head of a whole gangster thing. I can't remember what it's called, but that's kind of what I want to see. How did he get to that point? And then how does he get from that point to Rebels? Will we get a Solo 2? Or are they going to turn it into a TV show? Are they going to make a cartoon out of it? Who knows?
Honestly, at this point, I'll take whatever.
I also want to see what they do with Ahsoka Tano. She has become my number two favorite character in all of Star Wars. She is a fantastic character, so well developed. She's amazing. I don't ever want her to die. Like, I don't want to see her die, because I think I'm more emotionally invested in her than I am in almost any character in Star Wars at this point. So I need to see more. And the thought and rumors that are speculating or out there about her showing up in The Mandalorian season 2 is intriguing. But also the fact that the rumors state that it's going to sort of be a soft pilot or a backdoor pilot for her own show is also intriguing.
They should have just used this whole entire arc as a pilot.
Because here's the thing. If they do that, I think it would be cool if they do a show that the show takes place between the Clone Wars and Rebels. Do we want to see what happens to her prior to that? Or after Return of the Jedi? I don't think that's that interesting, you know, because all I care about after Return of the Jedi is what Luke does. That's what I want to see. You know, obviously the Mandalorian stuff is really cool, but when it comes to the overall story of the Force and everything like that, that's what I'm really interested in, is seeing what Luke did. When it comes to Ahsoka, her whole world just fell apart completely. 100% gone. Her best friend, her mentor is gone. Does she have any contact with Yoda or Obi-Wan in this time frame? That's what I want to see. That's what I want to be. And if you think about it, imagine an Obi-Wan show. So they have an Ahsoka show and an Obi-Wan show. Imagine they cross over at some point. Come on.
I don't think I'd be emotionally prepared for that.
Come on. To see Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan on screen with Ahsoka in live action. Like, come on.
I genuinely don't think I'd be prepared for that. Do you know how much emotion would just be there? Knowing that they both lost Anakin.
It's insane. It's insane.
Because you would have to assume Obi-Wan would still be blaming himself. And Ahsoka, to a certain degree, would probably be blaming herself.
Yeah, exactly. Whew, okay. Everyone, go watch that. I hope you enjoyed your Star Wars Day, May the 4th. It was a fun-filled day, with the exception of the finale of the Clone Wars, when it comes to Star Wars.
A lot happened today.
we're recording on May 4th, and a lot has happened. There's the Rise of Skywalker released on Disney Plus. You have the first episode of the Mandalorian documentary that dropped on Disney Plus. Obviously, the finale of the Clone Wars dropped, as well as some news that Taika Waititi has signed on to direct an upcoming Star Wars film, which I think is fantastic. Absolutely amazing. You have that, who is going to be a screenplay written by Christy Wilson Cairns. I'm not really sure who that is. I'm going to have to look more into that. So don't worry, next week we're going to talk all about that. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff going on with that.
You ready for a crossover to Bridging the Geekdoms?
Yeah.
Remember, I can't remember his first name, but Rollins?
Will Rollins, yeah.
She wrote Last Night in Soho.
Ah!
And that's the newest film that he's in.
Yes, that is very interesting. That's actually very cool. Will Rollins, he is an actor, and he is a big part of the Release the Snyder Cut movement. There's an episode with him that we had a chance to interview him for Bridging the Geekdoms coming up in the next week. So make sure you check that out. But it's interesting because he talks about his next project, and she was the one who wrote that. That's interesting. Very, very interesting. But yeah, we'll talk about all that. This episode was more all about this final arc of the Clone Wars and just our thoughts on it and the emotion behind it. Well done, Dave Filoni. Amazing job to Ashley Eckstein and Sam Witwer and all the actors and actresses who did anything with the Clone Wars. It was an amazing run. I'm so happy that we finally got this finale. I know a lot of people are hoping that we get a season that clears up all the other stories that have not been closed yet, but at this point, I'm kind of just content. I don't think that anything can top these final three, four episodes. I think they need to kind of just step back and say, you know what? We did a good. We're going to back away from this now. Make something new.
So not the one last final fun fact about season 7 of the Clone Wars, the filler episodes, I will refer to them as the filler episodes, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, and 8 actually take place before season 7, like before Bad Batch. Mm. So theoretically you could watch episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and they all flow as one giant story.
Interesting.
Like, that's chronologically how it happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Again, if you want more from Shootin' a Sith, or myself, or even Colton, jump over to spoilerverse.com. That's where you're going to find all of my podcasts. That's where you're going to find anything I write, whether it's Star Wars or not. You're going to find Colton's show, Polygon Warriors, there. You're going to find our other show, Bridging the Geekdoms, there, as well as so much more. So make sure you go to spoilerverse.com. to find all of that. If you want to stay up to date with all of our shows, just go on your phone, that little thing that you have that probably you have in your pocket right now. Go over there, search up Shootin' the Sith on any one of your favorite podcatcher apps. Hit that subscribe button. You know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever it is, jump on there, hit subscribe. That way you will be notified and updated on every single episode of Shootin' the Sith that comes out. And while you're at it, just look up Bridging the Geekdoms too. Do that one, Polygon Warriors. Spoiler Country, I'm telling you, that Spoiler Country interview with Kevin Kiner is excellent. So please make sure you subscribe to all of us, because we are the best place for all podcasts. That's Spoilerverse. You can find great podcasts and great content there. So yeah, I think that's about all I have to say. Thank you for listening. I look forward to talking to you all next week. We have some really cool things coming up. There's an episode that just released the other day where we sat down and talked to Outer Impraxium at Lightsaber School. Really freaking cool. So listen to that. We also have some other shows coming up. I have one where I talked to Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast, Sean Kuhn from there. Talk about his love for Star Wars. I also have a plan for the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back. So be on the lookout for that. With all that said, again, thank you for listening. Thank you.